Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet into Words.
I came here to study.
To work.
To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet into Words.
Esto es Con los pies en dos mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet into Worlds.
Call it American culinary imperialism. For Filipino immigrants in the U.S., one of the best ways to bring back the feeling of being home is to dig into a meal of burgers, milkshakes, and fried chicken.
I feel like I'm in the Philippines right now. I'm eating the famous chicken joy and rice, and I love gravy. Gravy is so good.
I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. On this Food in Two Worlds podcast, we take you to Jersey City, New Jersey, for the grand opening of a Filipino fast food restaurant called Jollibee.
Rice, not or wala pa?
Jollibee started in the Philippines. Today they have branches all over the world. The menu features burgers, fries, spaghetti, and fried chicken, probably not what you'd imagine as typical Filipino food. But to many Filipinos, that's exactly what it is. Jollibee has taken American fast food, given it a Filipino twist, and is now importing those foods back to the U.S. to the delight of Filipinos living here.
Now we're here in Jersey City, and we're so excited to come here in Jollibee.
That's Nell, a Filipina immigrant who stood in line on Jollibee's opening day in Jersey City. With me in the studio is Feet in Two Worlds reporter Aurora Almendral, who was also there. Aurora, what was it like at Jollibee that day?
It was crowded. People were standing outside in line under the hot sun. They're taking pictures next to the statue of Jollibee, which is the mascot. It's a large yellow and red bee that's wearing white gloves and a chef's hat. They're piling their kids onto the statue's arms, and inside there was a man in a giant Jollibee suit greeting customers. Kids are screaming Jollibee and waving stuffed toys around, and even adults are taking pictures with him. All the tables are full, and the line outside is even denser. People are really excited.
So a lot of excitement and a lot of marketing hype.
Yeah, exactly. There are Jollibee images everywhere.
Aurora, if it's just a burger joint, what's there to be so excited about? There are many, many burger joints and fast food restaurants in the U.S. already.
Well, Jollibee is different. It's chicken and hamburgers and spaghetti, but it's all been Filipinized.
Filipinized? What do you mean by that?
It means the roots are in American fast food, but it's turned into something more Filipino.
So give us some examples of how they do this.
So the hamburgers have onions and soy sauce, or probably something like it inside. The milkshakes are purple yam flavored, and the spaghetti is sweet with hot dogs and ham and melted cheddar cheese on top.
Yeah, not dishes you would typically find at an American fast food restaurant.
Not exactly, no.
Aurora, why is Jollibee in Jersey City?
The list of Jollibee's international locations reads like a map of the Filipino diaspora. They have them in Saudi Arabia, in Hong Kong, in Qatar, and California. And New Jersey's Filipino immigrant population has grown dramatically in recent years, so it's only natural that they'd open one up in New Jersey.
Now, you spoke to a representative of the Jollibee Corporation.
Yeah, the Jollibee Corporation targets areas with high concentrations of Filipino immigrants, and they recreate everything from the design to the way the staff interacts with the customers, because they know that nostalgia is part of what they're selling to Filipino immigrants. So I spoke with Maria Lourdes Villamayor. She's the business head of East Coast operations for Jollibee.
We make sure that all our ingredients are the authentic ones. We even import our spices for the chicken joy, which we supply our toll processor here. Even the breading and the gravy are all imported from the Philippines. So it's exactly the same gravy, the same breading that we use in Manila. The pies are all made by our own commissary in the Philippines. We bring them here.
Aurora, she just mentioned a dish called Chicken Joy. What is that exactly?
It's Jollibee's fried chicken, and it's one of their signature dishes, and they just add joy to it just to bring up the happy feelings of what Jollibee is about.
It's just a name.
It's just a name.
Aurora, we know that American fast food is popular all over the world, but how did it become so popular with Filipinos?
It's something that goes back more than 100 years. The Philippines was America's only official colony, and the U.S. bought the country from Spain, along with Guam and Puerto Rico, at the end of the Spanish-American War.
Which is way before the fast food era.
A little bit before. It was during this colonial period from 1898 to 1946 that the U.S. had their hands in all sorts of things in the Philippines. And there was a lot of resistance to this because Filipinos already fought a battle of independence from Spain. And in the end, they were just handed over to the Americans.
Specifically, in terms of food, how did the American colonists influence Filipino cuisine?
To find out about that, I talked to Amy Bessa. She owns a restaurant here in New York City called Purple Yam. But she's originally from the Philippines, and she researched the American influence on Filipino food for her book. It's called Memories of Filipino Kitchens, and she explained to me how this played out in the food culture in the Philippines.
When I was growing up, that was one of the things that Americans did to us. They made us feel that our food was inferior. And they did that systematically through the educational system, through the media, through cookbooks and all that.
Bessa says that Filipino children were taught how to bake muffins in school.
And muffins, I take it, are not a typical traditional Filipino food.
Not at all. I don't know if there's anything in it that's traditional. And Filipino food magazines from the 1930s are filled with American recipes. And Filipinos were told that their native diet of rice and fish was nutritionally deficient. So things like evaporated milk and condensed milk and margarine, canned fruits and canned meats like Spam, deviled ham, and Vienna sausages, those came into the market. And these industrial American foods, they were billed as superior to more traditional Filipino foods like dried fish, coconut milk, and fresh tropical fruits.
And when did Jollibee come into the picture?
Jollibee was started in 1975 by a man named Tony Tan. And it was definitely building off of this American food culture. It started as an ice cream parlor. And by the time that McDonald's arrived in 1981, they had just switched to frying up burgers and hot dogs. And within 4 years, Jollibee had become the market leader in fast food.
So a very quick rise to the top of the market.
Absolutely. They beat McDonald's at their own game. And this was at least in part because Tony Tan sold the American food that Filipinos had been adapting to their palate for decades.
So for some Filipinos, does Jollibee in fact represent what we talked about at the top, American culinary imperialism?
Yes, but it's more complicated than that.
How so?
Because Jollibee is a Filipino business that outsold McDonald's, which you have to understand at the time was already a symbol of American global dominance. Filipinos are really proud of Jollibee. They see it as the Filipino underdog. And business newspapers at the time called Jollibee's success an embarrassment to McDonald's. So it's a David and Goliath story.
And so there's a lot of pride that Filipinos have in Jollibee's success.
Absolutely. Filipinos see the sign, Jollibee, as a sign that they can take this experience of culinary imperialism, which is a little oppressive, and turn it into something Filipino.
I think that is the appeal of, you know, when Jollibee comes over here, it is not the food really that they're offering. It's a piece of home and a piece of pride.
Again, that was Amy Bessa, the owner of the Purple Yam restaurant in New York. What about traditional Filipino food? Has it also been influenced by American culture?
In a way, yes. So one way that's changed is that even traditional Filipino dishes are now made with industrially manufactured ingredients.
Such as?
So there's you can always find packaged tamarind-flavored soup bases and bottles of liver sauce that make it easier for Filipinos to replicate traditional labor-intensive Filipino foods. And there's an entire restaurant chain that's based around eating traditional Filipino food with your hands in the traditional Filipino way. But every branch is identical and every dish is consistent wherever you go in the country. And that's an American business model.
So it's a chain of Filipino restaurants that brings back the traditional home-style eating in the Philippines, but in a chain restaurant setting.
Yeah, exactly. So the food hasn't changed, but the way it's delivered is very American.
That is one thing that is a concern among people, that the influx of foreign food and fast food and processed foods will kill Filipino food. I really believe that Filipinos will not allow that, because we are capable of embracing all this craziness from abroad, from outside, and transforming them into some crazy Filipino food. But then we are also very good at preserving our own.
She says that Filipinos are still eating the suman and tubat, which is a sticky rice cooked in banana leaves, and tubat is a drink made of fermented coconut sap. That's the same food that was served to Ferdinand Magellan when he arrived in the islands.
Aurora, I've heard it said that Filipinos are among those who are most easily adaptable to American culture, more so than other immigrants. And I wonder if the Jollibee story and the story of American culinary influence kind of points out a bit of danger for Filipinos, that because they are so adaptable, they're at risk of actually losing their culture.
That's definitely a danger. But I found that Filipinos who are born in America and have never been to the Philippines are still really interested in Filipino culture. And going back to Jollibee, I talked to kids there who were 15 or 16 years old who had never been to the Philippines, had never eaten Jollibee in the Philippines, but they still went there because it was something that came from our country. That's what they said. And it's something that their parents related to, so it was home for them. So they still see the Philippines as home.
So does Jollibee represent the future of Filipino cuisine?
Not at all. Filipino immigrants still cook and eat traditional Filipino foods. But to get that taste that's associated with Jollibee, you have to go to Jollibee. And I think that Jollibee is something that Filipinos line up for because most everything else they can make themselves.
Aurora, thanks so much for bringing the story of Jollibee to the Feed Into Worlds podcast.
Thank you.
Aurora Almendral is a freelance journalist in New York City and a Feed Into Worlds food reporting fellow. Our producer is Jocelyn Gonzalez. The engineer is Chad Bernhard at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. Justin Mitchell is the Feet in Two Worlds intern. For more stories by and about immigrants, visit our new website, fi2w.org. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the New York Community Trust and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation,
with additional support from the Cyrus Fund, the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation, and WNYC, New York Public Radio.
This podcast was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV.
Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web.
We're a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.
Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or using the Stitcher Smart Radio app.
You can help by going to fi2w.org and clicking on the support button at the top of the page.